This podcast is part of Podcast One Sportsnet.
March Madness continues to be the talk of the sports world, and we are now down to the final teams. And here at Podcast One Sportsnet, we are competing against one another once again in the Sportsnet bracket presented by our exclusive partners, BetOnline.ag. Get in on the action yourself. Go to BetOnline.ag, use the promo code Podcast1, and you will get a 50% welcome bonus.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen, and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now, Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Friday! And thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. You know, I had a great birthday. Thank you all for your very nice wishes. I really do mean that. I got a call from Jesse Jansen. He is one of the leaders of the Beat the Streets project. He told me that he has personally got done Jordan Burroughs versus Ben Askren for Beat the Streets. Now, I don't know. Even though he said he got it done and that he did it personally, I don't know. I'm telling you, I'm seeing some conflicts with this. You got to match some dates up. Ben Askren's got his hands full with a guy named George Masvidal, who's not going anywhere, at least not easily and quietly. I don't know if this whole thing matches up. And then when you look at that, I know a lot of you are thinking, well, Ben Askren, he's an MMA fighter. He used to wrestle. He's not going to fare very well with Jordan Burroughs, who currently wrestles and currently wrestles better than anybody else alive. I agree with you on that. I would only push back. Ben doesn't care. That will not factor into it at all. The result, the perceived result, the likely result, that has nothing to do with his willingness to participate in the event. It's a different mindset. And if he wants to compete with Jordan Burroughs, regardless of who's going to likely get their hand right, that one isn't going to stop Ben from the other. I'm just telling you that now. It's one of the reasons you guys love him, whether you've identified that or not. It's one of the reasons you guys are drawn to him. He's a true competitor. Nah, it's not the money fight and the title fight and all of this stuff that has bogged the sport and the entire industry down. It's about competition in unarmed combat under whatever rules are agreed upon ahead of time. Okay, great. The other side of it is Jordan Burroughs. Jordan Burroughs generally goes out to Beat the Streets. Jordan Burroughs is generally featured at Beat the Streets. Jordan Burroughs usually takes on one of the top-ranked guys on the planet at Beat the Streets in Times Square in New York City in a very coveted and special and invite-only event. Jordan Burroughs is only human. You think Jordan Burroughs doesn't want a little bit of shine? You think he doesn't want a little bit of rub on Askren's name and the publicity that Askren could bring to that event? Particularly with the likelihood of it favoring him? Come on. That match might be happening. Jesse told me himself he's got the match. That match is happening. I pushed back on him. Well, you know, we'll see. A little unlikely in my opinion. He's like, chill. Unlikely. I'm the guy. I'm telling you, I've made this match. Go out and announce it. You know, I don't know. I don't know if you have it or not. No, I'm telling you, I have it. We'll see. And that's where I'm still at, even though, as I do the deduction for you that I just laid out for you, there's nobody to stop it. If you're telling me Novogratz is putting on an event and he wants the match, and you're telling me that Askren will do the match, you're telling me that Burroughs wants the match, what the hell's in the way? Why am I not accepting this match? And I don't know the answer. Our friends at Geico want you to save some cash, and even better, you don't even need to leave your house. Guys, all you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. It's extra money in your pocket, and it just might be the most rewarding thing you do today. Oh, by the way, guys, by the way, let me jump around to something else. 2 days ago, Wednesday, we were talking, I was doing a quick recap. In fact, I witnessed it right in front of you guys. No showmanship going on. I had not seen the Artem Lobov, Pauly Malignaggi press conference, face-off, slap, interaction. Hadn't seen any of it. Watched it live with you guys, listened to it with you guys, reacted to it live with you guys. Okay, I went back. And I have to give some credit to Errol Hawani on this. He's the one that pointed this out on Errol and the Bad Guy. He said, hey, by the way, go look at that shot again. There's a great big guy holding Pauly back with one arm and videoing the melee on his cell phone with the other arm. That guy is Rumble Johnson. I go, no, come on. I watched that thing. I didn't pick up. I go back and watch. It's Rumble. It's Rumble Johnson. Maybe the one reason that these two didn't get to one another is because 300-pound Rumble Johnson was there. But it was a piece of theatrical beauty. And if you guys miss it, I don't want you to miss it. I want you to go back and watch it. It's worth seeing. You can even see it now. Just go to ESPN Plus, Errol the Bad Guy, round three. Rumble Johnson holds Polly back with one hand while continuing to video the melee with his cell phone with his free hand. A little bit interesting. I'm jumping around a little bit, but I got a lot of thoughts. Okay, so where does that go? And it's very hard to talk about Polly and Artem with not bringing Connor into it. And matter of fact, there's no story without bringing Connor into it. Connor's the entire thing. Why? Because Khabib put hands on Connor and Connor committed three different crimes because it made him so angry. All premeditated crimes because it made him so angry. Polly just did the same thing to the same guy. And Polly and Connor have their history. They got their beef, which I really wish didn't happen. I really wish it hadn't happened because Polly came in as a training partner. What happens in the gym is supposed to stay in the gym, and your teammates, even if you're only teammates for that one day, you're still teammates. But there was something very real about it, and it wasn't Polly in Polly's defense. It wasn't Polly that went out and started talking about what happened. It also wasn't Connor. In both of their defense, they really did uphold the code that what happens in the gym stays in the gym. What happened is media was present. Dana and Lorenzo, not for nothing, if you want to name names. And they put it out as a way of hyping Connor McGregor and his skills against a former world champion as he's getting ready to fight Floyd, a former world champion. It made sense. At the same time, Paulie's got an ego. And for Polly to respond and say, hey, that footage was edited, that's not what happened. I was in there with 10 rounds for that guy. That is not what happened. As a matter of fact, aside from me getting a little fatigued, I didn't have that much trouble with Connor. For Connor to respond and say, well, you know, that's not really the way I remember it. Right? I mean, once it's out, and once one guy speaks, the other guy gets to respond too. Generally, it just never, ever, ever gets out. I train at a small gym here in Portland, just to personalize this. There are no cameras allowed. As a matter of fact, there is no outsiders of the gym allowed. You must either be a member of the gym to even get in the door on sparring day, or you must be related to a member at the gym who's actively participating in the sparring session. You're showing up there to support him. That's it. I mean, it's closed door, but for this very reason, footage cannot get out. Game plans cannot get out. I'm a little looser on this than some people. I don't overly care. I fought 49 guys. All those videos are out there. I don't have any secrets. So I'm a little bit looser, but that doesn't mean that I don't understand the concept. Conceptually speaking, objectively speaking, I get it. And some guys, man, they're really close to it. I can remember a fight Rampage was having. Rampage Jackson was going to fight John Jones. And John Jones, so Rampage goes into practice that day and they work on elbows. Elbow strikes specifically. Okay. John Jones that exact same day and within like a 2-hour period tweets out on social media that he's working on elbow defense today. So Rampage loses his mind. Rampage thinks there's a mole in the camp that's revealing and releasing to John Jones's camp what Page is working on. This was the evidence he had, and he was all upset and it became a tremendous storyline. I don't actually know the answer to that. It never got out. But I know that John Jones enjoyed the fact that he got his goat either way and stayed with it. Yeah, I got a mole in your camp. And he's not the first guy to do that. BJ Penn had done something similar with George St. Pierre and claimed that he had somebody in the camp. That one I did get to the bottom of. BJ made the whole thing up, but it was tremendously fun. And it's a very real thing. Right, I mean, it's like Marty from Nebraska. It wasn't meant to be funny, but once Ben Askren realized it worked, he can't back off of it. He's got to keep calling him Marty from Nebraska. It's just one of those things. That's just the way it goes. It's lighthearted prodding and teasing, but it gets a very real reaction and a very real effect. So these things, I'm just giving you guys the backstory in case you've been under a rock. So Polly then, of course, wants to hitch himself to the Connor train. I'm on board with that. I don't have a problem with it. It was a very obvious cash grab. That was not a fight or even a sport that you wanted to see Connor fight in. It was a very tough sell, but I got what Polly was doing, and frankly, he won me over. I was on board. Hey, Connor, if you want to go box and this is what you're going to do, and Dana's talking about getting this boxing thing going and you're under contract, let's just get these guys together and figure this thing out once and for all. And as long as nobody starts talking stupid about a $100 million payday, if these guys have a beef and they want to settle it and we can do it in unarmed combat with a license and a referee and a commission and judges and just do this whole thing properly, I'm in. I know I'm in just by how much time I spent watching this training footage at a couple of different angles that Pauly highly disputes and is arguing was edited to Connor's favor. If I'm watching that over and over, yeah, I'm going to watch those guys walk out there in robes, take them off with the 16-ounce gloves, and get this thing on in front of the world. You bet I am. March Madness rolls along with another very exciting week of college basketball as we've gone from 64 teams now down to the Final Four. And this Saturday, it's the two biggest games of the year before the national championship. And the Sportsnet Bracket Challenge, presented by BetOnline.ag, continues as your Welcome with Chael Sonnen competes against other podcast Sportsnet shows. And you can still get in all the action. All you have to do is sign up for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code PODCAST1 and you'll get a 50% welcome bonus. Your friend Chael here has had some ups and downs throughout the tournament, but we're still going strong. So let's not miss out on the action. You still have a chance to be part of this. Go to betonline.ag, get a free account. It's the Sportsnet Bracket Challenge presented by betonline.ag. March Madness is now down to the Final Four, which means it's go time. Don't forget to use the promo code PODCAST1 at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. So Pauly and Artem. Artem somewhere along the way gets released from the UFC, apparently signs with something, this bare-knuckle deal going on. Pauly apparently signed with this bare-knuckle deal. Okay, these guys have the face-off, but it all ties back to Connor. The whole thing is done because of the implication of Connor. That's why that works. Pauly and Artem don't have any heat. It all ties back to Connor. Okay, great. Well, Connor took the bait. This time he did not grab a dolly. He didn't break any laws, but he quickly went to social media and started releasing more photographs of the sparring session with Pauly, which of course works Pauly up. And of course I find it be a whole lot of fun. But Connor didn't stop there. Somewhere along the way, he decides to send out a picture of a woman who he identifies. I don't know that he was accurate. That he identifies as Khabib Nurmagomedov, as Khabib's wife. And his wife's face is wrapped. She's Muslim. Her face is wrapped. And Connor says something along the lines. Now, it's since been deleted. I have to say that, or I would give you absolute verbatim, but I am at least getting you guys 98% there just based on memory. Congratulations, you married a towel. Now, that's dirty. That's dirty at the highest of levels. And I must say, cooler heads prevailed because it was deleted. And by the way, a little bit of a sensitive topic. Don't come back on me. I'm telling you a story the way that the story happened. Just by the way. So Khabib, oh boy, Khabib lights up. And Khabib, man, this guy's a personal guy. As much as you guys all want to say, oh, Khabib's a big star, Khabib doesn't go live the life of a big star. Khabib does everything the same that he's always done. Oh, Khabib's made a bunch of money. Khabib hasn't spent a damn cent of that money. Khabib's a totally different animal, which is one of the roots to his success, by the way. And it's also going to be one of the roots and causes to his longevity of that success. But Khabib is as advertised. And this was a line that was crossed to the highest of levels. And I can't fully state that for you. I can't fully state that for you if that's from a religious standpoint or if that's from a cultural standpoint. And either way, I've never been to Dagestan. I don't actually know. But family to the highest extent is off limits. And the only member of Khabib's family who has ever been seen in public, spoken in anything, is his father. And that's because his father is in his corner. His father is his corner, man. If it wasn't for that, you guys never would have seen what his father even looks like. That private. So now imagine his wife. I don't believe it even comes to his fights. I mean, this is a very private thing. Relevant to the story. Very relevant to the story. Sensitive as that could sound, it's relevant to the story. So now, oh, Khabib comes back, and Khabib came back dirty. And he calls Connor. He did not delete this. This is still up there. He calls Connor a rapist. And then he starts posting photographs of Connor with other women. And a boiling point. As a matter of fact, the headline that I read, where all of this was in cap, I didn't go to one's Twitter and then the other one's Twitter and get all into the drama. I just read a headline. It was on bloodyelbow.com. Boom. Actually, a great headline. I should give a shout out to whoever posted this. The headline was, and it had to do with Artem and Pauly, and it said, get your dollies ready, right? from the Dolly, from the bus situation. Great headline. I really should find out who it was that said that because he deserves a shout out. Great. One of the better headlines that I've read in a meaningful period of time of MMA. Got me to click. But within the body of this story, it then parlays over to these two knuckles, Conor and Khabib. I'm reading this. Oh, this is bad. This is bad. And I'm the guy that started this whole thing in terms of what you can bring in, what's in limits and what's off limits. Started that whole thing, pushed those lines. But boy, even I had to sit back and go, this is bad. This is very bad. And this isn't even something, okay, that we're looking to monetize. This isn't promotion where you can kind of just go, well, you know, in promotion, they're sure are pushing the limits there. But, you know, that damn fight game, it's all about getting attention. These guys aren't fighting one another. These guys are not fighting one. These guys aren't fighting anybody for that matter. They're both in the principal's office. Get your calendars out. They're still in timeout. They don't have licenses. These guys aren't going to be doing joint media appearances. They're not going to be doing anything together, including fighting. Including signing contracts to fight. Conor is apparently, aside from the license status, not good to book him right now. He's told the world he's retired. Right, there's some weird stuff going on right now. We know enough to know he is not retired. We also know enough to know it's not a good time to book him. Khabib can't be booked. He's in the same boat. He's got no opponent. He's got a date. He's got a date that he can come. I can't ever remember on the Khabib thing. Did he get 12 months or did he get 6 and then say, I'm going to sit 12? I'm close on that, though, right? Or he got 12 and said, I'm going to sit 14. Remember when he extended it? Khabib just steered into this whole thing. I do not care what you do with me. End minute. Whatever you want to give me, I'll give myself more. Oh, you want to take this much money? Why don't you just keep the whole thing? Forget it. Don't call me. Don't contact me. Don't mail me anything, but keep it all. I mean, that was Khabib's stance. It was actually a very interesting stance, but that was Khabib's stance. My point, even though I can't off the top of my head recall exactly what the sanctions were for both guys, my point is the same. These guys are still in timeout. They're still sitting in the corner with a dunce hat on. So now they've gone at each other. One bringing in the other guy's wife, called her a towel. I mean, that's got all sorts of implications. That are, oh. As the guy that redefined where the line is, I'm sitting at it and go, whoa, Conor. Who came in and redefined. He came in and moved the line from where I put the line. He came in and moved the line 10 yards or more. Even he looked at it and deleted it. Okay? And then Khabib came back. I mean, that's an interesting one. That's an interesting one. Khabib is going to stand his ground from a prideful standpoint, but that's it. He is not going to market and he is not going to promote and he is not going to monetize. Khabib, in many regards, is like Ben Askren. Whether you want to set this thing up in the streets of New York City or you want to sell it in an arena somewhere. Just tell me when and just tell me where. And when he says that, even though that sounds like tough guy talk and bravado and that'll put chills up your spine, it's real. It's very real when he says it. Conor, on the other hand, he's looking at business first. Conor's always looking at business first. Neither one of these guys' approaches are wrong. They're just different approaches. So when Conor starts going to this point with Khabib, I have to sit back and try to figure out why. I have to. I would be missing something. I would be given an opportunity to learn something. But I have to know why. And I'm having a hard time finding that. I'm having a hard time finding what the payoff and the end game is. Here's the pieces that we have, that we've been told. Should they hold up? And I'm well aware in the world of promotion, specifically as it comes to matchmaking, we are going to fiercely adhere to the rules that we make up on the spot. I'm well aware of that, but here's what we know. Those guys are on timeout. That's true. Khabib and Conor can't go fight right now. Max and Poirier are going to go fight for the interim championship. And we have been told as the viewing audience, the winner will be the number one contender and the winner will be fighting Khabib as soon as Khabib returns. Whoever that is, because they have been told that, has the right to cling to that argument. Tony Ferguson has the right to push back against that argument. And if Conor McGregor comes back and Khabib's got the belt and these guys want to do it one more time, they have the right to push back against those other previously made statements, of which are all mutually exclusive and cannot all exist at the same time. They just can't. We as the viewers, I don't know that we have a horse in this race. We've been given three promises and they're all really wonderful things. I think we have to just sit back. I think we owe that to everybody. I don't think we get to have standing in this matter. But those three guys, whoever wins between Poirier and Max, Tony Ferguson himself, and of course Conor, should he return, in conjunction with Khabib, who appears to be more than a willing party, have some level of business that they're going to need to work out through politics and bureaucracy and the mandate of the masses and the power of the media, but they're going to need to work it out. And as dirty and nasty as this is, I would think that the play for whatever it is Conor's dealing with right now, whatever these reports, and some of which are rumors, some of which are speculation, but all the same, none of which are confirmed, it would appear that he is making a chess player's move of making sure that he has something to offer somebody powerful that they want. And that's very wise. And I've talked to you guys about this many times, but everybody that's good in this industry, I'm not talking about in the sport, who's good with the punches and the kicks and the grab. Man, they all are. Any given night, they all are. The guys that are good in this industry all sell something. And the guys that effectively sell it to you never let you know what that something is. It's always the magician's left hand. With the guys that are good, they will never turn on the industry. They will never reveal the business. And at times when they must turn on the industry and reveal the business, they're still giving you a swerve because they still know something that you don't. And whenever the magician's left hand is moving, you know there's always something hidden in the right. Something is at play there. And the thing that Conor McGregor has sold, many people believe, is skills. He has great skills. He has not sold those. Many people believe it is confidence. He has tremendous confidence. He has never made a dollar because of it. The thing that Conor has sold, the thing that's in the magician's right hand while he's getting you to look at his left hand, is power. Conor McGregor has no power in this industry. He has never got anybody a contract with any meaningful organization. He's never gotten anybody released from a contract. He has never called in a favor for anybody other than himself. He does not have power within this industry. But you think he does. He has sold that. He has sold power. He has sold, I decide who I fight. I decide when I fight. I will be getting shares. I am a decision maker. It's an angle, it's a work, and it's a gimmick. But it's one that he got over with. And it's one that I see the fellow fighters standing down. Oh, this is what Conor wants. That's the way it's going to be. I've heard members of the media who have thrived and strived and been in the industry and kept their lights on at home and food on their table for being in this business so long come out and say the same thing. Well, you know, Conor's holding all the chips. None of this is a knock on Conor. It's just the opposite. And Conor's watching this right now. And Conor knows from one worker to another that I'm right. And the one thing that he sold and the magician's great trick under that sleeve in the right hand while everybody else was looking at the left was the insinuation of power that never existed.
You're listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Alexa isn't the only one with breaking news. Make sure to hang around at the end of this podcast for the latest breaking headlines on the AP News Minute.
Hey, this is Jordan Harbinger, host of the not-so-creatively titled Jordan Harbinger Show. We dig into the superpowers of the world's most interesting thinkers, and then we deliver them to you right into your ears. It's more than just a way to get inspired, and I get it. We're not all superheroes. That's why we give you their blueprint and include worksheets for every episode, as well as answer your listener questions so you can live what you listen. Listen free to the Jordan Harbinger Show, available on Apple Podcasts and PodcastOne.com.
Listen up. For the last couple weeks, I have been talking about our sponsor, Biotropic Labs, and I keep telling you guys, you've got to check this out. If you want to take your competition and your training to the next level, Biotropic Labs is a premium, custom-formulated sports supplement company delivering measurable results to athletes and people who move. Like you guys, Biotropic Labs and their flagship formulas are built around blood oxygenation, providing a nitric oxide effect that relaxes the blood vessel walls. This is critical for energy and oxygen-carrying red blood cell support. These formulas help you achieve a natural lift and recovery and enhance your training, making you feel great and offering that missing edge that you need. Biotropic Labs is the place to come when everything else hasn't worked. Go to www.biotropiclabs.com. That's biotropiclabs.com and use the coupon code CHAEL. When you check out, you'll get 20% off Biotropic Labs' flagship and premium products with free shipping. And just for listeners of this program, you will receive anytime returns for one-time purchases. Plus, save even more when you choose AutoShip, bringing your total discount to 30%. All from Old Chael. Again, that's Biotropic Labs with an S.com and use the promo code CHAEL at checkout for 20% off flagship and premium products with free shipping.
Now back to your welcome with CHAEL Sonnen.
The psychology of the sport is something that is very fascinating. And it's the same as any business. It's the same as why the stock market moves, right? Yeah, you got a good product and you got some good management. You think your expenditures are going to exceed your profits. And all. Look, man, it all comes down to the psychology of the buyer. Can you motivate them or can't you? I see companies out there that got inflated prices all the time that can't even turn a profit, that are operating off of nothing but borrowed money, and their shares are going up because they can continue to inspire the imagination of the consumer. And it's a very interesting thing in the fight business. There are some pieces that must be there if you want to have a big fight. Two talented guys, any kind of a personal grudge. If it can be nationality, culturally inspired, which comes along very rarely, but if you can do that, if you can have a parody you haven't seen, there's a number of things that are easy. They're guaranteed, they're successes, and they're easy. If you can have a good guy and a bad guy, just like any film or any other form of entertainment, the white hat versus the black hat, it's simple, it's easy, and it's understood. It's also a recipe for success. There are other times where you don't know. And the one thing about this business is 2 + 2 never equals 4. You can bring an athlete in, a guy or a gal, and it checks all the boxes you're looking for. From talented to youthful to well-spoken to handsome to charismatic to beautiful, whatever it could be, right? Go right down the list. And for some reason, they're a dud. It just doesn't work. You will have other guys who have empty boxes, where of the 10 boxes that, hey, this is what I've got to have and I can make that person a star, they get 4 and they got 6 sitting empty and they go on to light the world on fire. And you learn something, and there's always something out of the box, but it's just 2 + 2 never equals 4. There's just not a straight line recipe that you can follow. There's just good ideas. I will offer you that backstory because I'm feeling that way with Eddie Alvarez right now today. Eddie Alvarez just got beat convincingly. Nobody beats Eddie Alvarez. Nobody beats Eddie Alvarez convincingly. For some reason, his stock went up with me. For some reason, I'm trying to identify what it is. I'd be curious if you guys agree with me, but I am now more interested than ever in Eddie's next fight. I would like to know if you guys agree. And I don't know why it is. I don't know if it's because I want to say, hey, did Eddie just fall off the cliff? Is it all over? Was the change to the new promotion the wrong change? Was the weight class and some of the ramifications and some of the way that they do things, from an organizational standpoint, the wrong way to do things for Eddie Alvarez? Is that what this is? Or is Eddie going to come back with a vengeance like he has every time in the past? Did Eddie just need one to shake off? Now, let me remind you, he did that in the UFC. He came over from Bellator. He came into the UFC. He stumbled in his very first fight. And he was a top five ranked fighter in the world. Don't forget, he came back from stumbling in that fight to capturing a world championship. This is a guy who has shown it before. Is that what it is? Am I just so curious as to whether it's the comeback story or something the other way? I don't know. But there was something about that fight and seeing the vulnerability in a guy who is nearly invincible, nearly bulletproof over a very long career. You know, Eddie also never gets recognized for that. Eddie really had the hard way to the top. And I know about it because I was there with him. I also had the roundabout way to get into, the eye of the camera, if you will. Before the media, before all of you guys. We traveled the roads. Bodoc, Costa Rica, and Trenton, New Jersey, or somewhere in Pennsylvania, wherever the hell we were. Trenton, New Jersey, I had that right. But we did all of these things, you know? And I get into the Ultimate Fighter. I'm coaching the Ultimate Fighter. Big opportunity at the time. I look, Eddie Alvarez is in the stands. He's over there just to watch the action. I'm looking and go, Eddie, if I would have known you were going to be here, I'd have got a jersey for you and you'd be on the coaching. That's Eddie Alvarez. Come on. But he doesn't always get that credit. A lot of people don't realize how far he goes back. They don't realize how many times he's had to evolve, how many times he's had to reinvent himself, how many times he's had to pull himself up off the canvas. They don't always realize that. And when I watched that fight, And I don't want to take anything away from the opponent. I will just share with you. I'm not overly familiar with who his opponent is to the point that I've seen the fight. And I couldn't produce the guy's name for you right now. I'm just not aware. That's on me, not on the opponent. But when I watched that fight, and I don't want you guys to get lost in this in case you did not see the fight. Eddie Alvarez lost a fight. Eddie Alvarez stopped. Eddie Alvarez in the first round. These are the headlines, and that is factually correct. But if you go watch the fight, Eddie Alvarez lost well less than 1 second of that fight. Well less than a second. A millisecond. One punch came in, went right into his eyeball. I mean, he's got an orbital. He's in the... It's a whole big thing. He said, and I quote, "I was blinded by that punch." And you saw the fear. You saw him go, "Whoa, I gotta get to a doctor. I don't have time to deal with you right now, opponent. I got some other thing I gotta go do." Well, let's go ahead and wrap this one up. But in its entirety, he only lost a millisecond of that fight. 1 millisecond. Ah, punch got right through. So keep your eye out for that. But I will tell you, for reasons that are unknown for me, Eddie Alvarez's stock went up. My interest in Eddie Alvarez has gone up because of the result of that match. I don't know that there's another time that I can recall that I've had that same reaction. Let's take a moment here to give a big thank you to TrueCar for being a loyal sponsor of this podcast from day one. Guys, with TrueCar, 60 seconds is all you will need to get an offer on your vehicle. In the amount of time it takes you to floss your teeth, to pet your dog, to do a few sit-ups, or to listen to this advertisement, you can get a true cash offer. Best of all, you can do it right from your smartphone, even from home. Just go to TrueCar, simply enter your license plate numbers, and watch how your car's details pop up. Answer a few questions, and you will get an accurate true cash offer from a local TrueCar certified dealer. It is that easy. After that, bring in your car. They'll check it out with you together. They'll ask you some questions so there's no surprises. Then simply leave with your check or trade in your vehicle for a new ride. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. True cash offers not available in all areas. You know, guys, I hate to tell you I told you so. And by hate to say that I hate to say I told you I so, please interpret that correctly, which is nothing makes me happier in the world than telling you I told you so. But let's take a look at the welterweights. Okay, the welterweights right in front of us have been put on trial for the last 8 weeks. They have had an unofficial tournament, okay? Scott Coker would love what's going on with the UFC welterweights in the last 8 weeks because it's a Grand Prix. It just wasn't announced. And quite frankly, it's a mess. When I get to the I told you so part, so many people thought that Leon Edwards was going to be fighting George Masvidal because of the backstage altercation. I told you guys, not only will that fight not happen, it cannot happen. It cannot happen for deeper rooted issues. Was that compelling? Was that organic? Do you have B-roll? Do people want to see the fight? Yes, 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 and yes. It doesn't matter. Those guys had nothing to do with one another. The trains had not left the tracks. They were not headed for one another. Make sure you keep that piece. I will tie it in a moment. But they had nothing to do with one another other than they fought on the same card. They were backstage at the same time, and they both had their T-shirts off because they fought very close apart. So it was a bad action. It was a bad action for Leon to tease George and walk by and say something. It was a bad, worse action for George to walk over there. A worse action for George to then land a three-piece and a soda, meaning punch Leon four times in the face and walk. The whole thing was really bad. You have to understand, if you then give those guys the fight, if you then use that footage that you have to try to monetize something and drive an industry or promotion forward, you're now rewarding a bad act. If you do that one time, that's how guys are going to go out and get fights now. You can't go out and get a fight like that. You have to get a fight the old-fashioned way, either coming up the rankings or get a microphone in your hand and entice a guy to take the action, put a microphone in his hand and say, "You got it. Let's put these mics down. Let's put pins in our hands. Let's sign this and let's do this," and you face them off. That's how you build a fight. If you one single time reward a guy by giving him a fight through a bad action, then anytime somebody wants a fight, they just walk up and smack the other guy and make sure that there's a camera on. Not only is that wrong, not only is that illegal, not only is that unprofessional, not only does that send the sport and the industry back to the dark ages, which it fought itself through, but now all of a sudden you're opening your door to a pro wrestling angle. You're opening the door nice and wide to two guys realizing they can do some great business with one another and getting together. And it just doesn't work. I mean, I really have to remind you, it does open the door to pro wrestling. Do you guys remember? Don't forget the history of professional wrestling. Most people have forgotten. In fact, let me just educate you real fast. The history of professional wrestling, they really were trying to pin one another or stretch the other one and make him submit. The same two ways that you can get your hand raised in professional wrestling right now were the same ways when professional wrestling was real, when it was an actual competition. They were legitimately trying to put the other one's shoulders down for a 1-2-3 or stretch them in what Josh Barnett will call catch wrestling, which comes from that day, from the Vern Gagne's and the Luthezes of the world, make the other guy submit. But the pool was real small. There's only about 8 wrestlers, and they were the traveling circus. And they'd tear the tent down, and they'd drive into the next territory the next day. Promoters set the tent up, pop the popcorn, they'd come in. They'd go beat the hell out of one another, get in the car or the van, drive on to the next town, and do it all over again. Finally, one guy looks over at the other guy and says, "Hey, I'm a little bit sore. How about tonight we just kind of pretend to fight? There's ways to this. We'll make it look like a fight. As a matter of fact, if you'll give me that, here's what I'll do for you. I'll let you win. As long as we can both leave here and feel good and not actually compete tooth and nail and grit and blacked eyes and swollen lips, I'll let you have the victory. It pays the same." And then they started to find ways to disguise it. They started to find ways to call matches. They started to find techniques. They started to find ways to stall and entertain the crowd. They tried to decide, hey, what's best for business? Who should go over? But that's how professional wrestling started. It started as a legitimate competition. A very legitimate competition. People forget that. And over time, it was about, hey, how can we get the most eyeballs on us? So I understand that giving Leon Edwards and George Masvidal a fight with one another, which is likely to come down the line, they can definitely still fight, and you can definitely bring up that backstage altercation at that time, but you cannot go from A to Z on that. You cannot go from the mound to a home run all on that. You can't do it. And in the other bad actions that we've seen, from Lennox Lewis versus Mike Tyson, which comes to mind, or John Jones versus Daniel Cormier, which comes to mind, don't forget those happened at press conferences after the contracts were already signed. The trains had already left the tracks. Then there was some organic stuff that happened along the way. That is completely different. Khabib and Conor, that is completely different for moving forward with that as a promotion once they're already headed to one another. Those guys had nothing to do with each other other than they were in the same proximity backstage with their t-shirts off in London and a bad act happened. I'm only sharing that with you because it's very relevant to understand why it didn't happen, but it's also relevant to understand the situation that the welterweights are in right now. Anthony Pettis contributed in screwing up things at welterweight and then dropped back down to 155. That's great for Anthony Pettis. He's going to have a huge fight, I think, with Justin Gaethje. That's a big fight. That's a co-main event with a title fight as the headliner, or that's a main event fight. If there's no title on the line tonight, that's a big fight. But as far as the welterweight go, he screwed it up. You look at what George Masvidal did. Yeah, he's going to stick around at welterweight. That's the good news. But he goes out and takes out the number one contender, who, by the way, was starting to do a short program with Ben Askren, who was sitting in the front row. It got screwed up. The Robbie Lawler, the Askren, are you going to rematch him? Was it a weird finish? Was it a legitimate finish? What do you say? Got screwed up. Tyron Woodley dropped the strap to Kamar. Got screwed up. None of this stuff was supposed to be the way it was supposed to be. So now you're looking at Masvidal versus Askren if those rumors are true. You're looking at Lawler versus Woodley if those rumors are true. Is that how everybody, the four participants would have come to the table and looked at each other and pointed across and said, "I'll take you. Yeah, I'll take you. That's what we're going to do. That's what's going to be best for eyeballs and attention and everything that goes into the business"? No. The other side of it is there's really not a better option, at least not one that I can come up with. It's a bit of a paradox for matchmaking right now. And most importantly, the guys you want to take most care of, they actually got perfectly right. Kamara versus Colby. That is perfectly right. Maybe a little overdue. And as far as overdue, I mean, Colby's participation in that. Colby was the interim champion. Colby should have got a world title fight. Colby, for me, is still the interim champion. I guess somewhere along the way they took his belt away. I guess that happened. I didn't see the decarnation, if you will, in that. But I'm told that that's the way the facts are. Either way, Kamara, undisputed champion. Colby, top guy. They're going to fight. Everything else is going to have to fall into place. That's just the way it is. Stick around. Enjoy it. I've had it with you all. I got an airplane to catch. I will tell you next week where I am and why I am there. Until then, I'm Chael Sonnen. I appreciate you being here with me, even though I don't say it very often. You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com. Podcast One Sportsnet is your home for the best coverage of the Final Four in this year's March Madness. Get all the play-by-play and top-notch analysis from sportscasting gurus like Dan Patrick and Rich Eisen. Then put in your bets with betting expert RJ Bell on RJ Bell's Dream Preview. And laugh out loud with the biggest name in the game, literally, on The Big Podcast with Shaq. Download new episodes of these shows and more every week. Podcast One Sportsnet.